In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God, our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy.
Thank you.
we pray thee that thy grace may always go before and follow after us, and make us continually to be given to all good works, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. From Luther's small catechism, as the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. The fourth commandment, thou shalt honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, that we may not despise our parents and masters, nor provoke them to anger, but give them honor, serve, and obey them, and hold them in love and esteem. So far, our confessional reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, reading verses 39 and 40. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven, and I say, I live forever. So far, our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading and text for this Sunday's sermon, epistle to the Ephesians of the Apostle Paul, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Here ends our reading of the gospel. We join in confessing together our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Our text this morning is the epistle reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. I'd like to reread it at this time from the New King James translation. Paul writes, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen."
Amen.
Please be seated. Paul introduces that prayer by saying, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." What kind of tribulations is Paul talking about here, and how are they for these Ephesians and to their glory? Well, Paul is a prisoner, as he says, for Christ. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, is the way he begins chapter 3. You see, Paul was arrested in the year 58 or so as a sort of, to protect him. He was arrested to protect him from a Jewish mob in the temple. And Paul spent a year and a half in prison in Caesarea while the Jews who had tried to attack him in the temple tried to talk the Romans into turning him over for them to kill him. And then after that, 2 years under house arrest in Rome, finally coming to trial with the Romans. It's because of his association with the Gentiles, such as the Ephesians, that Paul is a prisoner. He was originally arrested in what we might call protective custody, if you will. So then how is his tribulation, his trial, how is that to their glory? Well, he refers them to that in the beginning of chapter 2. He said, speaking of Christ, he says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." He refers to what we might call a spiritual resurrection for people who are born blind, dead, and enemies of God. A spiritual resurrection to being members of the body of Christ, his church, with the glorious promise of eternal life. Kind of like all human beings born since Adam, blind, dead, and enemies of God, but resurrected, some resurrected through Christ, those who hear the preaching of the gospel. He says he wants them to not lose heart because of his tribulations. It would be easy for those, us included, who are members of the body of Christ, the Holy Christian Church, to think, why should someone like God's own, through Christ, called apostle to the Gentiles, have to suffer through such sufferings as he's going through. But of course, glory and suffering go together. Reference from the Lutheran Study Bible makes that point and gives these Bible references to underline it. From Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, "And if children," and of course he's talking about we being children of God, "then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The life of the Christian, the life of the members of the body of Christ, is a life under the cross. So says the Lord himself. "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." But of course, the message of what Luther would call a theologian of glory is much more appealing to our natural human nature, our fallen nature, if you will. We would like to see those who are in good standing with God through Christ to have nothing but a glory robe. And there are all kinds of theologians of glory. And of course, one name pops to mind, and you've heard me express it many times, our friend Joel Osteen. But I wonder, with theologians of glory, they talk an awful lot about what a wonderful life God has planned for you if you simply follow their advice. Did you ever hear them talk about death? I don't know. But at any rate, ran across this from a Lutheran theologian. Another little twist against the theology of glory. Here he's pointing out the idea that God sends us crosses to strengthen us, to make us stronger. He says, God does not send crosses to make us stronger. Quite the opposite. They weaken and kill us, so that we live and find strength not in ourselves, but in Christ alone. Did you catch Paul's prayer for those, including us, that he prays do not lose heart? His prayer that focuses on Christ and faith in him. Our strength not in ourselves, but in Christ alone. That you may comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Listen to that description. That you may know and understand, comprehend the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's a Greek word that Paul uses, mysterion. We get it translated mystery. Makes sense, because that's where our word mystery comes from. 6 times in the letter to the Ephesians, Paul uses this word, half of them in this brief chapter. There's a difference mysterion and our mystery. Our mystery, once you solve it, it's not a mystery anymore. What Paul is talking about are some things that we may know if we are informed from outside, but it's something that the human mind could not know without God's revelation, would never imagine. It's something beyond our comprehension. We may know it if he reveals it to us, but we would never grasp it and get our mind around it by ourselves. That you may know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, says Paul. That's the mystery he's talking about. If it seems strange that God would allow his own chosen apostle to the Gentiles to suffer in prison under trial, awaiting possible execution, his own chosen apostle to the Gentiles, then how does it make any sense at all that God's own Son, the creative Word that brought the whole universe into existence, would become a human being and suffer miserable death to pay the price for lost and rebellious human mankind? There's a mysterio. There's knowledge past understanding. And so Paul concludes with his benediction. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It goes beyond what we can think. It goes beyond the mysteries, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. I can't help but think, reading this doxology of Paul's doxology in chapter 11 of his letter to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. The Apostle Peter writes, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart. Amen.
Amen.
And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
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 who is scheduled for surgery for breast cancer on Tuesday. And then we will also pray for our communities. Let us pray.
Lord Jesus Christ, in your ministry you healed many with frail and diseased bodies. Be present with your servant Valerie as she undergoes surgery. Bless her with faith in your loving kindness and protection. Endow the surgeon and medical teams with alertness and skill so that if it be your will, this surgery may help your servant to a speedy restoration of health and strength. We pray in your name as you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray that let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
It is meet and right so to do. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ,
our Lord,
who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord, and in the confession of the only true God we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins.
Thank you.
Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.